We welcome in live from Birmingham, Alabama, technically Hoover, from SEC Media Days. He covers college football in the SEC for CBS Sports, my friend Barrett Salee. What's up, man?
Matt, you are winning my heart over with Thunder in Your Heart from Rad as my walk-up music.
There you go.
It's been way too long for that song to lead me into the radio segment. I cannot tell you how excited I am for that song. Because
awesome.
Rad is the greatest piece of American cinematography of all time.
Hard to debate that. Crew Jones and his gang, man. Very difficult to debate how great that movie was
at
the 80s.
Conquered Hell Track.
It's dominated. And they danced on their bikes at prom. You know how hard that is?
So hard.
So SEC Media Days, man. How's it going out there this year? What's going on out there? The hoopla, is it bigger than ever?
No, it's not. At least for the first 3 days, to be honest with you. It's been really boring. There's been not a whole lot of... I mean, even Nick Saban didn't even have a soapbox to jump on today, which is very anti-Nick Saban-like. And, you know, it's... I think part of it is that we have access to everybody throughout the course of the year. So, you know, what's Jim McElwain going to say now that he didn't say 3 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago? So, you know, it's more of a celebration. You know, it's like it's a celebration of college football. It's a celebration that involves the coaches and players, but it's also, you know, everybody else in the media getting together and having a good time. And, you know, I think we did learn a little bit. I mean, I think it's abundantly clear that that Jim McElwain's going to name Malik Zaire his starting quarterback as soon as Malik Zaire takes a single practice snap this summer, because he's not there to hold a clipboard, and that's exactly what he said. Alabama, same thing. Nick Saban came here, I guess, today with really one goal in mind for one question, and that was to solidify Jalen Hurts as the starting quarterback, you know, in game one against Florida State in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So other than that, there haven't been a lot of fireworks. That will definitely change tomorrow when Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss show up, because if, I don't know if you all saw, but Houston Nutt filed a federal lawsuit against Ole Miss today, and Ole Miss goes tomorrow. So that, and it's specifically against Hugh Freeze, so, and the SID there, so that's going to be fun.
Let's build on that real quick. What are the real ramifications of that? Is there anything more significant than come out of that lawsuit, any more sanctions, or is that kind of in the past and it's just more going to be damaging words from Houston more than anything?
Well, there's nothing from an NCAA standpoint that's it really is going to affect. I mean, it's a completely separate issue that just sort of is in the same neighborhood as the NCAA stuff. The interesting curveball, and I wouldn't even call it a curveball. It's illegal. Like, somebody puts Vaseline on the curveball and then threw it. It is that you've got basically the defamation lawsuit citing, I think it's seven journalists that were, you know, they say fed misinformation about Houston Nutt by Hugh Freeze and the Ole Miss administration, and all seven are here. And they're mad because, you know, they got lied to. Like, you know, they did their jobs. I mean, if a head coach tells you something, you know, with that's newsworthy and says, okay, yeah, you can run it, you run it. But they're all here, and they're not very happy that they got lied to. And so I don't know, you know, we were talking about this, you know, on the way to dinner tonight. How do you address it if you're Hugh Freeze? Because, you know, one of those guys can actually get the mic and ask a question about the lawsuit in which he is mentioned in, and everybody knows that that's the person mentioned in it, and it's going to get real awkward. And awkward's great for us because it's great for sports radio and columns and all that stuff.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to that tomorrow. Talking to Barrett Salee here on ESPN Game Night, 103.3 FM ESPN. He's calling in from Birmingham at SEC Media Days. Texas A&M, it was their day today. Kevin Sumlin, DJ and I were talking about this earlier. I have no clue how he's still the head coach a year from now. Is he a dead man walking, you think?
Well, he's a dead man walking if they don't look like they're progressing. And really, you know, I think everyone wants to put a number on it, right? So everyone wants to say, well, it's 8-4, it's 9-3, or whatever, you know, pick the number, whatever, it doesn't matter. I think it's more about feeling for Kevin Sumlin and Texas A&M. I mean, you look at that team and that program after, you know, the season and say, okay, is there progress? Because I think everybody knows this is a young team. I think everybody understands that, you know, there's a lot of questions, offensive line, quarterback, defense, all, you name it, everything, you know, is up in the air for Texas A&M. So, you know, it's about feeling. You know, do you spring an upset? Do you fade in November? You know, does it look like Kevin Sumlin has the program going in the right direction? Those are all the questions that matter. The number is sort of just like a bit role player in the whole, you know, scheme of things. So, you know, I think he's got the – I think if he gets through this year, then he's going to get a lot more time because I think the future of Texas A&M is really bright no matter who the head coach is. But it's going to be a challenge because there are so many questions in a conference that I think is going to be much more offensively driven this year. And that's not going to bode well if you don't play defense and you have a brand-new, probably freshman or redshirt freshman quarterback taking the snap. So, but to Kevin's credit, and I mean, Kevin is his own worst critic, and he knows it. You know, he knows he has to win. And, you know, in Destin at spring meetings 5 weeks ago when Scott Woodward went on Feinbaum and basically threw Kevin Sumlin on the hot seat, I never saw the big deal. I mean, it's just honest. It's just being honest. Everybody knows he's on the hot seat. Kevin Sumlin knows he's on the hot seat. You know, he knows he's got to win. He's doing all he can to keep his job because he likes it there and he wants to stay there. But, you know, no one's putting more pressure on him than him. And if it doesn't work out, then he'll find another job and move on.
Well, everybody's throwing out that blanket statement of he has to win. What do you think that exactly means this year? Is there a number that he's trying to hit? Is it a matter of knocking off Alabama or LSU, maybe Auburn? Does just winning one of those big games save him this year? What do you think is the benchmark that he has to hit in order to keep his job?
Well, I think 8-4 is sort of the gray area, right? So if you're 8-4 and you get blown out in four losses and Jake Kubenak takes all those snaps and you don't have any hope for the future, that's a problem. But if you're 8-4, you spring an upset, you know, you start a true freshman in Kellen Mond and you have some excitement about the future and you don't fade in November, a different sort of feeling. Now, you know, it's compounded obviously by, you know, the big shadow of Chip Kelly sort of hanging over college football and what he's going to do. But, you know, I think that if you're going to put a win number on it, it's or a record on it, it's 8-4. And then at 8-4, you have to judge, you know, what does it feel like? You know, and how happy are boosters? How happy are alumni? How happy are, you know, fans? And do they feel like the program is going in the right direction? And really, there's no way of knowing until you get to that point. But I know one thing. It would help if they win in November because – he got up there today and talked a lot about how he, you know, has a new strength and conditioning program, and it's, you know, built on more flexibility and more stretching and more you know, durability and things like that. You better hope it works, because if they fade in November, then he's gone.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because when you look at A&M over the last few years, that's exactly what he's done. He not only faded November, he's just absolutely been atrocious that second half of the year. They're beating up on those easy teams, whether it's the non-FBS teams that they play, like Nicholls State. Obviously, their cross-divisional rival, South Carolina, is early in the year. But Kevin Sumlin can recruit. Like you said, they've got a lot of talent there. What's been the problem? Why hasn't he been able to coach the guys he can recruit to get in there to be able to compete when they get into divisional play?
Well, he's never done this before. And this is, and what I mean by this is, he's never sustained a program. You know, a lot of these coaches that came in around the same time, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, Kevin Sumlin, you know, they can win quickly. You know, they all did. But they've never even been asked to sustain a program. They don't know how to do that. And it's hard to learn how to do that. And so I think Kevin Sumlin initially made some mistakes in how he wanted to, you know, build that program. He wanted to be, I think, way too exotic with Manziel his second year and then Kenny Hill in his first. And then realized that he needs to be a little bit more of a power rushing attack, win the line of scrimmage, run when you need to, not just when you want to. And he's had a hard time finding offensive linemen that can do that and running backs that can sustain that. So those, I think, are the issues. Those are the problems that I think he's, you know, been really struggling to address. I think he feels like he, you know, is going to address them and has addressed them as best he can. The question then becomes, is it good enough? So that's where he is. And I think a lot of other coaches are in that same spot as well.
So Texas A&M right now in Big 12 country, if you're not an Aggie, you pretty much make it a habit of slinging hate toward them and bitterness toward Texas A&M. And I just wanted you to kind of talk about, do you feel like they are better off in the SEC? Because right now everybody in the Big 12 says, well, what's the difference between being a very mediocre team in the Big 12 and being a very mediocre team in the SEC? What is your response to that?
Money.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's the stability and money that the SEC brings. And really, I think, on top of that is that, the Lost Dodds got into a big controversy five, 6 years ago, whenever the realignment stuff was happening, saying that, well, Texas A&M really only has a sliver of East Texas. Well, I think what we've come to realize is that that's okay. that's fine, and that's a good place to build from, because since that time, you've basically branded Texas A&M as the SEC school in Texas. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get every recruit that wants to play in the SEC. They're going to lose some to Texas and other Big 12 schools. They're also going to lose some to Arkansas and to LSU and to Alabama, like Jalen Hurts. It's just opened up a lot of doors, for the entire conference. But those doors are also open the other direction. It allows Texas A&M to go, recruit in the SEC footprint, where if you include Texas in that, there's just an overabundance of really good football players. So, they're way better off in the SEC because, in the Big 12, they were Texas's little brother. In the SEC, they're just now sort of a distant cousin.
Yep, fair enough. Barrett Slee joining us here from SEC Media Days. He covers college football for CBS Sports on ESPN Radio. It's kind of curious. You were talking about, the Big 12 that DJ brought up, a name from the Big 12 that moved over to the SEC this year, the former Baylor quarterback Jared Stidham. Is this the Nick Marshall type guy that Malzahn needs to win at Auburn this year?
He's not the Nick Marshall guy, but they don't need the Nick Marshall guy, and that's what's great about him. As long as Auburn actually does let Chip Lindsey run his offense, because Auburn for 2 years, and really longer than that, people brand it as an option offense or a zone read offense, and it's really neither. There was no read in those zone reads, and there was no option in those run-pass options. They were just straight called plays. And Chip Lindsey doesn't do that. Jared Stidham didn't do that at Baylor. And Auburn needs to be a true run-pass option team, which, incidentally, they were in the spring game. All they showed were what they need to do. And so, Stidham can make those decisions on the fly. He can stretch the field deep accurately. He can open up the middle of the field, and he can run a little bit, and he can hand off Cam Petway. And all of those things are good. But now the question then becomes, do you trust Gus Malzahn to keep his hands off the offense? And my answer now is I do for now, because that's what he's saying, but I do also recognize that he's flip-flopped on that like about seven times in the last 5 years. So if they stay true to it, and look, we even asked Nick Saban this in Destin at spring meetings, about run-pass options, true run-pass option offenses. He basically described Auburn's potential offense and said you can't stop it. I mean, because if you have a 240-pound running back coming at you and then two great receivers on either side lining up outside the number, that quarterback who knows how to make and execute decisions on the fly, you can't stop it. You can basically just play the kind of football where you line up and say, all right, are there more helmets in the line of scrimmage right now than we got? Okay, we'll pass it. And if there's not, we'll run it. And it really is as simple as that.
All right, so real quick before we let you go, when you fill out your picks, who you got, Alabama, Georgia? Are you making A&M fans happy they're going to stun the world this year?
I do have Georgia out of the East. I can't tell you who I have out of the West because I got to write that stuff.
All right. Fair enough.
But I've already filled the beans on Georgia, but I did already vote. That will be revealed on Friday on the website. But until then, we're going to enjoy Hoover.
Yeah, please do. And enjoy those beers at On Tap and have fun at Gabe's tonight. I imagine you guys are headed over there.
Well, see, this is a pro move, a veteran move from Matt McClellan, because he knows that it's Wednesday of Media Days, which means karaoke night. And so, yes, it will be karaoke night with a bunch of media members, and I will be singing Crossroads by Bone.
Oh, fantastic. We'll look forward to maybe seeing that on Periscope.
There ain't no maybe about that. You know that's how that works.
All right, man. Good talking to you. I appreciate the time tonight.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there he is. That's Barrett Salee of CBS Sports. Covers college football for those guys.